Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Promise, and we are so glad you could join us. Before we get into the Word, let's open up in prayer. Lord, I thank you for today, Lord, and I thank you for providing us with your Word, Lord, and teaching us and guiding us to become more like you, Lord, and giving us your perfect example, Lord, so that we may become more like you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. Glad to have you with us as we continue our study in 2 Thessalonians. This morning, we are moving forward in chapter 2, and we're going to cover verses 11 through 17. So, actually, I'll just read this for this morning. It says, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God, from the beginning, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our example. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, now the floor is open to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you, and to ask any questions that you have. So who'd like to begin?
I will.
All right, honey.
So we talked about in the last episode, and I've mentioned it before, that those who have a propensity, they desire to be deceived, will be deceived. So when it says here that God will send them strong delusion, it's not God forcing them to be deluded. Mm-hmm. It's that God is the voice of truth, and he's the voice of reason, and he's the voice of wisdom, but he does not have to speak to us. He's not obligated to do that. So the people that, in verse 10, it says they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They resisted God. They resisted the truth. And so the Lord is just saying, okay, I'm not going to continue to apply my sound mind to you. I'm not going to continue to force and fight with you. Like he talked about this in Romans, the beginning of Romans. I'm not going to continue for that. You want to be deceived? Okay. I will let you have what it is that you desire. And here it is what you've opened the door for. We just get to see the other, like the behind the scenes of it.
Amen.
And the adversary is always looking to deceive and to delude. But these are people who have willingly, they want to be deceived. They are willing participants with it. So the Lord's like, okay, there you have it. That's what's in your heart. So I'm going to allow you to have what it is that you desire versus trying to be a buffer and a calling them into reconciliation anymore. He's letting them have what it is that they desire. And they have a choice to believe the truth, but they don't desire it, and they would rather be in unrighteousness. They take pleasure in it, and they despise the truth. They love lawlessness and unrighteousness. And if you compare it to what was said in Romans chapter 1, it happens on an individual level, but then a large scale level as well, as people are falling away. They are turning away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord's going, okay, I've tried. I've restrained you. I've helped you. I've pled with you. I have knocked on the door of your heart, and you have yet refused me these however many times. And God is the one who keeps the standards on that. And he says, okay, I'm going to let you have the lie that you want to believe. So we are not of that sort, but just understanding what it is, and even touching back to verse 9, talking where it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Us loving the truth, us wanting to hear what the Lord has to say, even if it's a challenging discussion, a challenging topic that he wants to talk about.
So if it requires you to come up to a higher level with the Lord?
Or whatever it is.
In your maturity?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whether it's self-examination or just understanding the things of God, and maybe we wanted it to be like the tradition said that it was going to be, but God is saying, no, here I am. This is who I am. I'm righteous and I'm loving and I'm holy. And this is what I'm doing. Whatever it is that God is saying to us, even if it's a hard concept to grasp or something that's outside what we wanted it to be emotionally, that we're willing to go, I don't care what I thought, Jesus, just tell me what you're saying. Tell me what the truth is, because I want the truth. We have a desire for the truth because God's word is truth, right? Jesus is the word of God. Everything about God is truth. So like we talked about before, the distinguishing factors is that our heart is on the Lord and we desire him and we want what he has and what he has to say to be evident in our lives, not preferring for God just to lie to us. Well, just leave me alone. Let me believe this lie. You know, I like Easter bunnies, so I want to just believe that the Easter bunny is acceptable and the tooth fairy's coming. I mean, get down to the nitty gritty of wanting and desiring the truth. Lord, tell me the truth. That's what I choose to believe. That's what I desire. And that's what is the distinguishing marker for these believers who are set aside and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Just understanding that it needs to be that to that extent. It needs to be that to that extent and that deeply rooted in our hearts that we want the truth from the Lord and that we're willing to go with him to not find it, but to let him reveal it to us. Because even a small thing, right? Revelation tells us that not even something that causes a lie will enter into heaven. And that for most humans, they think, well, if it's a small lie, what does it matter? You know, that's okay. That's still okay. And we deem that as something that's not that big of a deal, but to the Lord, that is a big deal. It's mm-hmm. enough to keep someone out of heaven, right?
Yes, mommy.
So not finding or making or allowing any space or any root or room for a desire to be deceived to be found in us. Desire the truth, even if you have to hear hard things about yourself from the Lord. Desire the truth, even if it means you have to forsake long-held traditions or things that your parents taught you that you were raised or growing up knowing or thinking was the truth. But when God says, here's the truth, that was a lie, that you go, I don't want that anymore, Lord. I'm taking you. You mm-hmm. said it. That's not the truth. I believe you. Your word is truth. And having that kind of attitude and mindset that you sever all connection to lies, all connections to deception, all connection to unrighteousness and unrighteous pleasures, to grab a hold and cling to Jesus Christ. And if that means you look like what you would think in your mind is a nun or a monk or any, go do what God asks you to do.
Don't try to or John the Baptist, since he
right,
had to
whatever
do that,
it is.
That
and
well.
I just saw somebody in their mind instantly flash, well, you got to mm-hmm. be a monk or you can't do anything in your life. I'm not talking about man-made traditions, but no. If that's what it takes, right? Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your hand is causing you to sin, cut it off. So does he want us hacking our hands off and our eye plucking our eyeballs out? No, not really, because the eyeball is not doing anything other than what the internal heart tells it to Amen. Do. The hand is not stealing by itself. It's only doing what the heart is telling, the heart of that individual is telling it to do. So what he's saying is, don't be afraid to sever any connection that must be severed in order for you to cling to Jesus Christ and cling to righteousness in your life at all cost.
Yes, mommy. Well, that flows quite nicely into what the Lord was showing me about verse 15, where Paul is telling the Thessalonians and us today to stand fast and hold the traditions which we were taught, whether by word or epistle. And it isn't like, you know what people would think of tradition, you get down on your knees 3 times a day or you pray or something like that, man-made traditions. But the traditions Paul, or actually the Holy Spirit was talking about through Paul is, when we read back in 1 Thessalonians about abstaining from sexual immorality, abstaining from every form of evil, walking in love, developing faith, standing firm, mm-hmm. being obedient to the commands of the Lord, those are the traditions that we were taught. And those were actually were instilled in us from the beginning. Because if you go back and look at in Genesis, the Lord said, come, let us make man in our image and our likeness. Mm-hmm. So there's no fault in them. So that was instilled in us from the beginning. That's what we were created to be and to do. The only difference now is that, and that's something else that the Lord was showing me. There's tradition or the belief that we blame everything on Adam and woman. It's their fault that we're sinning today. No, sir, no, ma'am. It's your fault that you're sinning today because you're actively choosing to do that. And until you decide not to do that, you will continue to do that. Mm-hmm. So there is that as well. The Lord Jesus has already come and made the way to redemption and to life in him. If we are not experiencing that life, that's because we choose not to. We can't blame it on anybody or anything else. It's solely a heart decision that each and every one of us has to make for ourselves. Mm-hmm. I can't decide for Promise if he's gonna follow the Lord or for Dad or for Mommy or for Jim down the street, and they can't decide for me. We each have to make that choice for ourselves, because if someone else is deciding, that would be witchcraft, that would be controlling, and that's not what the Lord asked us to do. So as we're looking at the things of the Lord, our traditions, what's instilled in us is to love one another as he gave his commandment, is to bear that fruit and that fruit remain, is to walk holy and blameless without spot, wrinkle, or blemish before our Lord and Savior, to be clean and undefiled in our spirit and in our physical bodies, that we continue and hold fast to the word of the Lord. Again, either through what's written here in the Bible or what he's spoken to you, like through a teacher or something, or directly to you in your personal time with him. Those are the traditions that we're supposed to be holding on to, not anything else any man has instilled, because those things will not remain. And you read 1 Corinthians 13, these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. So none of the traditions that we make for ourselves are going to remain and do us a lick of good, as the Lord says. And when time has come to its end, when it's time to transition back into eternity, so it's important that we remember that, because it's easy to think that if you do the traditions of what your pastor says, even though it's contrary to the word of God, that it'll be okay because your pastor said so, or your parents said so, or someone you respect, as you said, Mommy, said so. As if that would be a legit excuse to be used in the day of judgment, and the Lord's going to go, oh, okay, that's fine. No, he won't say that, I assure you. He doesn't say it now here on earth. He certainly won't say it there.
And everybody else is doing it. It doesn't work in the natural, and it certainly isn't going to work in the spiritual. It's not going to work before our Lord and Savior.
Well, I would like to go back to something that you were talking about earlier, Mommy.
Okay.
Back to the strong delusions. And so, Mommy, you had spoke about how that the Lord is not purposely giving them delusions or trying to force them off the path. The Lord is simply giving them what they want. Or as in giving them the opportunity to choose. And the way the Lord phrased it to me was, for example, if you leave something on a fence, and then a strong wind blows, it's going to fall off. As in an object that's not rooted, or if it's not rooted, or if it's not on the ground, it's going to fall off on the side that the wind is blowing it towards. Which would be the Great Tribulation. And the Lord first reminded me of Hezekiah inside of, Chronicles, and how it said that the Holy Spirit withdrew from him to test and see what his spirit was. Not that the Holy Spirit is purposely stranding us or marooning us to try to feel us out, but he's giving us the ultimate opportunity to choose. And With that choice, God is giving us the opportunity to deepen our relationship with God. Throughout the Bible, we see other tribulations appearing, and, for example, Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, that was a tribulation. And with those tribulations, God is expecting us to come out of it better than when we came in. And inside of the Great Tribulation, God is going to add extra to that better, as in, if we make it through, as in, if we make sure God is our foundation, and if we make sure that nothing else is going to shake us and that we actually succeed, then God is able to glorify us and actually make us better. And going back to Hezekiah, with Hezekiah, the Holy Spirit withdrew from him, though he was still near him. The Holy Spirit didn't forsake him or cast him off and abandon him. The Holy Spirit was still there, which is important for us to remember. As long as we have Holy Spirit as our foundation, and as long as we make sure that Holy Spirit is near us and that we're not separating ourselves, then the Holy Spirit is going to guide us completely through the tribulation. If we're listening and if we're obeying if we're being obedient to what God is telling us, then we're going to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
That you brought up in the previous episode, how we are told to be, I forget the exact way you said it, but it had something to effect of about fruit, as I believe if we love him, we're going to bear much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And because we love him, we're going to bear much fruit. And as a result, the only way we can bear fruit is if we're obedient to God and if we're actually allowing the Lord to grow us. If a fruit is on a tree, if the tree is not growing, the fruit is going to rot by itself. There must be continual ground being taken for the Lord in order for us to actually make it through it.
Mm.
And because the Holy Spirit's not forsaking us, we can also focus our hope on that. That because the Holy Spirit is not trying to abandon us or trying to maroon us, or not that he's going to do it, or that has already happened, but because the Holy Spirit is always near us, and Jesus, I believe, I don't remember when, but he said, Lord, I know you. Oh, yes, with Lazarus, he said, Lord, I know you hear me whenever I talk to you. That's me paraphrasing it, of course. And so the same should apply for us. No matter what kind of circumstance arises, we should always be asking the Lord for his input first. He should be our only refuge. We should not have a secondary plan, because that's doubt, which is going to hinder us from hearing from God.
Well, that secondary plan is also not what?
Obedience. It's not God's best.
And it's not the truth. Right, that's most of what we're discussing here. Do you have a love for the truth? Right? And you see, even in this section of scripture we read, you have verses 11 and 12, which is talking about those that are going to follow the lawless one, because that is their choice, right?
Yes.
Then you have this dividing line, as you were saying. The people separating the people that made their choice for the Lord, which you see the Lord through the Apostle Paul begin to discuss in verse 13, from those that have given themselves over to delusion and chosen to trust the adversary, Satan, right? Those ones that made their choice for the Lord are who are the ones that are being encouraged, right? Paul and Timothy and that group, right? And actually everyone that they are having conversations with about those in Thessalonica or the Thessalonians, those are the individuals that he is thankful for. He recognizes, hey, you chose salvation. Also the same ones that he's encouraging to stand fast and hold the traditions you were taught, whether by word or by our letters, right?
Yes.
So there's also a difference there, right? It's just so we understand them. Traditions, well, there's two types of traditions. There's those that are just done because they're done, right? Now, with that, they may represent something. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They're pointing to something bigger, that bigger thing being the Lord. And then there are those, if you will, traditions, which is what Paul is writing about here, that is actually not so much a tradition, even though it falls under that category, but it is an application to help them grow, to aid in their growth and development, in their maturation into becoming conformed to the image of Jesus the Christ. Mm-hmm. That's what he's talking about. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught. But not just taught, right? What they heard and saw through Paul and his friends. Mm-hmm. And Paul writes about, well, the Lord through Paul writes about this in multiple letters, right? And even in his mentorship, right? Whether it's to Titus and to Timothy, those things which you saw and heard and experienced in me, do those things, right? It wasn't just a tradition that you check out and put it on autopilot and we have to do this and walk this way and so many steps and then do this movement and, right? Like, mm-hmm. How does that aid in your growth?
Stand up, sit down, kneel.
Right. All those.
Say amen.
Right. All those traditions, those are traditions, rituals, whatever you want to call them, right? How is that actually aiding in your growth and development in the things of the Lord? There is a difference. And he's saying those, and that's verse 15, right? Those that are going to stand fast and hold those traditions of what he's taught about and lived out, right? Those ones, right? He says, hey, the Lord's giving us everlasting consolation, right? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, you know, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work. Those individuals. So you see, there is a difference there in this group of individuals that the Lord through Paul is writing about in comparison or contrast to those that chose to fall away and believe the adversary and the lawless one. So it was for us to examine which side, as you were saying, Promise, which side of the fence will we be on? Which side will we be on when the Lord brings about a division and a separation from those that are his, or of those that are his, from those that have chosen the adversary? That's for everyone to answer for themselves, between them and the Lord. But I encourage you to examine that. And we've gone over some very telltale things that demonstrate what's in each one's heart. So bring that before the Lord and make a choice, hopefully for him. It's always the encouragement here. Choose the Lord. Choose life, that it may be well with you. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's pause there for today. And with that, can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Promise.
Lord, I thank you for providing for our every need, Lord, and giving us your Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us inside of your truth, Lord. Lord, I also thank you for giving us the ability to become one with you, Lord, and that we are your sons and daughters, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
In Jesus' amen. Almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop. Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.